From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 16th, 2010. Every week, this podcast tries to bring awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Google Fusion Tables now let you do spatial queries. Oh, you don't know about Google Fusion Tables? We'll tackle this and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Get ArcGIS on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. Download the free app from the Apple App Store. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS.
Adina, back in May, a good friend of ours, Dale Lutz from Safe Software, cued me into Google Fusion Tables. He said I should take a look at it. What they had done was they had built thematic mapping into a simple Google Docs spreadsheet. So back then, Fusion Tables was kind of in Google Labs at the time and has since graduated from its beta form. I don't know what graduated is, but let's just say it's out of beta. And now some more features are being added. And that's really the subject of today's podcast. And really what it's doing is going beyond simple thematic mapping, which is what it was doing in the labs, and it's now implementing spatial queries. Back in May, I took a look at this a little bit more closely, and we did an episode of DMTV on that. And so if our listeners want to take a quick look at what the beta version of Google Fusion Tables could do with basic thematic mapping, we'll put a link into our show notes, and they can take a look at it. But maybe some historical perspective is in order, because way back in the early 90s, spreadsheets could be used, simple spreadsheets in Excel could be used to do thematic mapping, and MapInfo is the embedded engine in Microsoft Excel way back then. That hasn't been available in Excel for several versions now. Well, so fast forward, and all of a sudden, you can do thematic mapping inside of a spreadsheet, and Google Fusion Tables now allows you to do that. So a pretty unique feature. So what I want to do is give you a little bit about what Google is saying about Fusion Tables, kind of at a base level. And they say that Fusion Tables is a service to manage large collections of cloud-based table data. You can import spreadsheets up to 100 megabytes and upload them for colleagues to share and publish. You can apply filters to your data and aggregate functions. And of course, now what you can do is visualize the data in maps and other kinds of diagrams like bar charts and whatever. Now, what Google has done is that the Fusion Table supports the construction of spatial queries. Again, I'm going to quote from Google, and they say that developers can, one, find all features that are located within or overlap with a given distance from a location. That to me sounds like buffer zones and capturing all the features within a buffer zone. Two, you can find all features that are located within or overlap with a given bounding box. We would often refer to that as a minimum bounding rectangle or MBR. And then three, find a given number of features closest to a location. So there's two things we want to cover today. One, just the very fact that spatial queries for Fusion Tables is available. And then two, what does this mean to the broader community of geospatial users that can now take a something very simple like Google Docs and apply thematic mapping techniques? So Adina, let's start with the fact that developers can now hack into this thing and do their own spatial queries. I think that's a fairly significant development.
It really is. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about sort of the evolution of the mapping data user. And in particular, I'm thinking about those Excel spreadsheets that you were talking about, and I had that same thought that this is very much like that, except now we're in the cloud, now our spreadsheets are much bigger.
Yep.
And now we know a bit more about what is possible with geospatial information. So back then, really the excitement of this was put my data on a map, put the dots on the map, color the states, that sort of thing, and that was huge. Now, after so many years of using maps on the web and becoming very comfortable with the fact that, oh, I can find the nearest pizza place on my phone, right? So that idea of find the nearest or find within a certain distance is a much more common idea to regular folks, not just geospatial folks. And I thought it was very interesting the way you described those features was the way Google describes them is very much how regular people would describe it, and you use the geospatial geeky terms, right? And
I did, yeah.
And that exactly says to me that Google feels that the planet of developers is ready to do those kinds of things, and I think they're absolutely right.
I think what it really is exactly as you had put it, which is an evolutionary stage. We've all become very familiar with Google Maps, Google Earth, but the only thing is that it's not fully exposed. I don't know how much visibility Google Fusion Tables has gotten. We've tried to do a little bit of it. But what it does say is that once this functionality is exposed and more people become more familiar with it, because in the demo that I did on DMTV example, it's pretty simple. There's not a lot of buttons to push. There's not a lot of things you have to do. All you have to do is get your data in the right format, and you're up and running. And that's a departure from the way we're used to doing things, or at least the way we've come historically, where it used to be a lot more of an issue and how do I format my data. Now we are quite comfortable in using spreadsheets and putting names and addresses in certain ways, and the broader community now has this functionality. I just don't know how much Fusion Tables is exposed. I think it will be. But it's going to take a while to fully get this functionality out into the broader, I would say, consumer space.
You asked a couple questions there, and let me answer your first question, which is how much and how are Fusion Tables being used? Well, I did just a quick search on Google News, and I found out that the big users who are talking about their use of Fusion Tables are the media. MinPost and The Guardian both use Fusion Tables to put maps into their online news properties. And the other big user is Google. When they did all those maps for the elections, Fusion Tables were behind them, and they made those tables available for people to use. So it is still a new idea, but I love the idea that the media is jumping on it. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, that is a great sign that people have found the application, found it, and made some good use of it. And the fact that Google is using it themselves will help promote the whole application.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's one other comment that I think you were sort of heading in this way. The demo that you did on DMTV didn't use a spatial query, and as you said, it was pretty simple. Regular folks without programming could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you look at the examples that are provided in the blog post that introduced querying functionality, there's a little code in there. And, so you have to know a little. The interesting thing to me is you have to know a little SQL. That's what it is, right?
Right, sure. Yeah.
And while I think at one time that was quite a barrier, I have to say, when I saw that SQL, I had a very warm and fuzzy feeling back from my days working with Oracle. That isn't as foreign as it used to be. And in fact, it's more and more like how you deal with any kind of spatially enabled database. Right? It's how you do it in SQL Server. It's how you do it in Oracle, right?
Well, and it goes to the point that we're all becoming a lot more sophisticated in terms of dealing with information technology, and I think most people using computers today are exposed to at least a little bit of SQL, if not the logic of SQL.
Exactly.
Is what they're familiar with. Yeah.
Right. Select something from some table with some parameters. That's not too scary.
Right. Back in the day, I think people would rail against MapInfo because when you created a spatial query in MapInfo in the dialog box, you had to know a little SQL. You had to know a little bit about creating a statement that would get you to the end result. Now, here we are 10, 15 years down the road. I think we are becoming a little bit more comfortable with that type of technology, and I'm glad. But what caught my attention was that, again, somebody in an office environment using Fusion Tables that is willing to play around with this type of technology will make themselves invaluable to the boss when he says, hey, look at this type of functionality that was just exposed. I think it's going to be really helpful to us. They didn't have to go out and buy a whole GIS system to do it.
And they didn't have to buy Oracle.
Right.
Right. And the other half of that is I have to believe that very soon, months, somebody's going to give us this beautiful interface where you don't have to build the SQL query. You push some buttons, this little query builder kind of tool, right?
Exactly.
So you're not going to have to know this much. Although I have to say, I think with a little bit of thinking, folks could do it. The other place I'm really excited about seeing this is in education. Because,
mm-hmm.
wow, right. you can, the students don't have to install anything. They can use their own data. It's all in the cloud. Wow, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is, and it's very powerful. And the second part of what I wanted to discuss was the broader implications here, what's going on. Oh, well, we thought Google Maps was just a nice shiny toy. We never thought it would morph into a GIS or thematic mapping system. What a shock. Here it is. This is going to have some broader implications, I think, down the road to the geospatial community. But in some regards, it's not a shock of what Google is doing. It's kind of the next evolutionary step, as you said earlier on.
It really is. And I think we have to give credit where credit is due to another friend of Directions Magazine, Brian Timoney, who had a terrific quote about this on Twitter. And he said, quote, "Remember the good old days when we reassured each other it wasn't, quote, real GIS, unquote."
Right, right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And here we are sitting down the road several years after Google Maps was introduced, and I remember writing a memo about this in my old employer about alerting them to what Google was doing, and it's quite astounding of where we've come, and great. You know, it's gonna help promote the technology even more. And I think, as you said, some of this functionality will be built in. Somebody's gonna put something out there where we're gonna be doing these very simple spatial queries, and maybe more advanced spatial queries, and we won't even know it.
Well, and that's the really interesting thing. So now there's three spatial operators that Google has given us now to operate on this data, and there's got to be more to come, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of the first shot out of the barrel of what you can do spatially. And I'm a little surprised at some of the other, mapping / GIS companies for not doing a little bit more to reach out to this consumer space.
The consumer space?
Well, this to me is kind of a consumer space application, don't you think?
That's really a good question.
In general, you know, if I'm an office worker the knowledge worker, let's put it the knowledge worker. I kind of put them in, I don't know, maybe they're called the prosumer. Maybe that's a better way to phrase it. They would most likely take advantage of something like this. I think that this is the evolution of using information and now using spatial information. That's just my take.
Well, and I respect that, and I think that there's still a whole set of people where as soon as you say the word API, that's not a word, actually, that's an acronym, they would immediately say, that's not for me. But, as I suggested before, once you put an application in front of them that takes advantage of that API, they're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to filter down to those consumers and those sort of end users of technology, whether they're in the professional realm or at home. But there's still going to be some programming going on in there.
Well, and that's what we have now, is a little bit of programming. You need to do a little bit of that to expose the functionality. Again, won't take too long for somebody to put something out there, you know.
No, and that's Google's modus operandi in Maps, right?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Put the API out there and let them mash up and change the world with these mashups. This is really the next step of that too.
That's very true. This is kind of mashups 2.0 or 3.0, however you want to phrase it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the 2011 GeoDesign Summit will be held January 6th and 7th in Redlands, California. Attendees will take part in the development of geodesign concepts, technologies, and tools that will advance how our global society approaches design. For more information and to register to attend, visit www.geodesignsummit.com. During the month of November, we're running our 2010 Directions Magazine Reader Survey. We hope you will take part in this. It just takes 5 minutes, and you will be entered into a random drawing for one of three Amazon Kindles. We certainly appreciate your feedback. If you want to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box at Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.